If you go and look on the company website, I noticed that there were some images of people with what looked like a prototype that you just showed us on screen, attached to the arm. Putting this on the arm and just having it passively detect, how is that different from the conventional method for testing someone's glucose levels? Do they have to normally do a blood draw?
First, you have the data continuously available. So for a kidney disease, those are quite long-term disease, I mean, it's a chronic disease, and that can suddenly evolve quite rapidly and quite dramatically. With only blood sample, you may miss the critical point, and it's less intrusive. You don't have to think about it. It's just on your arm, and you don't lose any data points.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Altium On Track podcast. I'm your host, Zach Peterson. Today, we're talking with Paul Durand-Esteb, lead electronics developer at Metios. If you've paid attention to Altium social media recently, you know that they are part of the startup program called Launchpad, and I'm very excited to talk to them today about their technology. Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, hi Zach.
It's always nice to have startups on because you guys are always working on something interesting. Just so that our audience gets to know you better, maybe tell us about yourself and what Metios is doing and what products you're currently working on.
Yeah, sure. First, thank you very much for the invitation on the podcast. So, at Metios, what we do is that. So the company was created 2.5 years ago on March 2021. And the main goal of the company is to develop devices to help prevent chronic diseases and to help patients and doctors manage and improve treatment by better monitoring. So we are developing a solution on a wearable patch that is capable of real-time measurements of biomarkers. So it's a the it's quite similar with what we have for diabetes, the continuous glucose monitor. So the small round patch that you can see on the arm of people wearing them. But the CGM are monitoring. I would say they are monitoring only glucose. We aim, or rather, our device can sense several molecules and biomarkers to address other disease and diabetes, obviously. So I have a small prototype here of our device. That's our first prototype.
So for anyone that's listening on audio, we've got a small red box. It looks like maybe an inch by an inch.
That's it. A bit more, 3 centimeter by 3 centimeter. I
Okay.
don't exactly know an inch, but a bit more and a few millimeters thick. So our first use case, or rather, what this prototype aims at monitoring, is biomarkers needed for kidney disease monitoring. So, namely four molecules, glucose, creatinine, potassium, and sodium. How we achieve this is by having microneedles on the bottom of the patch, microneedles about 1 to 2 millimeter long, that will sense the interstitial fluid that the So the microneedle access the zone in your body just under the dead cells of the skin. So we are not sensing in the blood. It's like the TGM. The CGM are not sensing glucose in the blood, but in the ISF. And the point is to be the least invasive possible. We call it micro-invasive. We have microneedles. Like this, we can sense our molecules. Then we send them through Bluetooth and through the patient phone to the cloud. It's an internet gateway of our system. And after treatment, the data can come back to the smartphone of the patient, so it can have a real-time vision of this constant of measurement, and also send to a doctor or whoever is needed in the treatment, to have real-time access to the patient data.
So if you go and look on the company website, I noticed that there were some images of people with what looked like a prototype that you just showed us on screen, attached to the arm. And I'm not familiar with glucose monitoring or biomarker monitoring, but putting this on the arm and just having it passively detect, how is that different from the conventional method for testing someone's glucose levels? Do they have to normally do a blood draw?
Yeah, I mean, for glucose, before patches, you had to pinch your finger to get a drop of blood and put it in a small machine, which was, I think, already a big improvement from the blood sample regular test. So, but still, having the glucose monitored or whatever molecules monitored in real time is a clear improvement from a blood sample for in regard with several points. I mean, first you have the data continuously available. So for a kidney disease, those are quite long-term disease. I mean, it's a chronic disease, and that can suddenly evolve quite rapidly and quite dramatically. So, I mean, with only blood sample, you may miss the critical point or do the blood sample a bit too late. And also the delay between a blood draw and the results can be a few days or maybe weeks, maybe depending on where you live. And so you can do it only, I don't know, I'm not impacted by this disease, but I guess that you cannot do this more than a few, twice a week or something like this. So you have a better monitoring and it's less intrusive. You don't have to think about it. It's just on your arm and you don't lose any data points. One of the issues for kidney disease, I mean, some medication can dramatically damage your liver, your kidney. And so when you are prescribed this medicine, you have to do a blood sample in 1 week or 2 weeks to see how it went. But some people just forget or do it a bit too late, and it has dramatic consequences. With one of these devices, you have the medicine at the same time the monitoring device. You take it, you monitor your kidney health, and it's a way better comfort and way better monitoring.
So with regard to, you know, kidney health monitoring, has this resulted in, I guess you could say, degradation in the patient's quality of life or possibly even death if they miss these if they miss these spikes in glucose or any other biomarkers?
Totally. We need the glucose for kidney disease, even if it's not for diabetes. But it can lead to, I guess, death, or at least very acute health issue. I'm not a doctor, so I hope I don't go too far from my field. But kidney disease is rarely the first cause of death or very important symptoms, but it will damage other things. The first being the heart. With kidney disease, you often have then heart issues. And that will be a failure in the heart or something like this that will eventually kill you. But the root cause was the kidney disease. So that's kind of why it's very important to monitor it continuously. And again, it's a point with chronic diseases, and that's why also majors want to address and monitor chronic diseases. Is that for a long time it's quite quiet, nothing evolves, you're okay. And because went under a stress. For kidney, it can be it's suddenly very hot, which is quite more and more often these days. And so you are under the dehydration, and your kidney will have to work more than usually. But as you have a disease, they will start to fail. And it can go very quick, in a matter of days, where you will have symptoms, or, oh, you're not that well and all. So you can then consult a doctor, but it will take a few days, then blood sample, a few days more, then the result, a few days more. And so, yeah, you just lost 2 weeks just because you were dehydrated for a short period of time because it was too hot outside. So, yeah, the continuous monitoring is very important in chronic diseases.
So I guess the bigger question as far as where this kind of technology with, you know, micro needle sensing directly through the skin is going is what's the longer term vision for leveraging this? You know, you've mentioned two conditions, right? You mentioned diabetes and kidney disease, but are there other chronic health conditions that could be monitored with this approach, but maybe not this specific device?
Yeah, totally. We have so kidney disease is our first application, but we have a broad roadmap including different pathologies in cardiovascular health directly, women's health, metabolism issues, and others. The thing is, it depends on the biomarkers. If you manage to find a biomarkers or several, because at the point of our device to monitor several biomarkers at the same time that are characteristic with your disease, you can then adapt the sensor. We see our sensor as a platform for chronic disease monitoring. So the electronics is quite, and the mechanical parts also, the up to the needle, down to the needle, is quite easily reusable for other for whatever biomarkers you want. So that's more the chemistry of the electrodes. So you have these microneedles, and of course you have to functionalize those microneedles to be able to detect and measure the concentration of your of the molecule of interest. So yeah. Kidney disease is a very good start for this application because there are lots, there's a high burden on people suffering these diseases. There is, in terms of market, there's a big market, but also a lot of people to help. But then it can be declined to, yeah, other chronic diseases as long as we can monitor and we can find the biomarkers relevant and then find the chemistry to functionalize, properly functionalize the electrodes to then send them.
So you brought up another point that I was going to ask, which is why are you targeting this market first? It sounds like a couple of reasons, right? One, it sounds like it's a high value market. So it makes sense from a business perspective, but then from the technology perspective, it sounds like this is a good way to prove out the concept for what you're trying to do. And possibly, again, I'm not a doctor either, but it sounds like kidney disease is really a symptom of other chronic diseases that would require monitoring. Are those points fair?
Yeah, totally. Yes, symptoms or even a root cause for other disease or issue. And the kidney disease case is also that's a major chronic disease that requires frequent biology monitoring. I mean, there are some people with dialysis that have to go to dialysis center several times a week to probably filter blood, and a device like ours can also improve, or at least what we think to give more data to probably set up the machine, or you also have dialysis at home that maybe can improve, can be improved by continuous or at least by more data, the availability of more data. So disease, kidney disease by itself is still a very big market and a very interesting market to address. I'm repeating myself, but that's a route for other disease like cardiovascular that can be good. The thing is that apparently from around 30, when you're about 30, you start to have kidney malfunction, or at least the kidney start to functioning less than it was before. So you have several stages of kidney health, I would say. I don't exactly remember the scale, but from 30, you are already at stage 2. I mean, everything is normal, but it's a bit less efficient than before. And it's only problematic at later stage. But the thing is that, it's not as good as before quite early in life. So with very widely available sensing device, you can detect all those disease quite early, and as we all know, treating a disease early is always one of the best things to do.
Yeah, of course. The other thing I'm wondering is if this technology could be leveraged away from just monitoring and then to possibly administering like medications. Like topical medications.
Totally. We're not, at least at Meteos for the moment, we're not planning any step in that direction. But that's totally devices that are under development today. Continuously delivering drugs to the patient or adapting it, or adapting the treatment and the quantity in real time. But that's not a step that we are going to. But for diabetes, that's already what is happening. I mean, at least I saw some. I'm not sure if it's on the market now. I think that there are. But the sensing of the glucose continuously on one side, and it's connected to insulin pump that will adjust in real time the insulin level in the for the patient. So yeah, you start to have an organ replacement at this point, but it's very cool.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Organ replacement, but you just hook it onto your arm and you don't have to go into surgery to get that done.
Yeah, totally. It's by an external device that monitors and pump the right treatment.
So I'm sure in order to get to high volume, there are quite a bit of challenges. And it's going to be challenging to scale out this product to the point where everyone has access to it. Doctors are aware of it and recommending it to their patients. What are some of those challenges that might be preventing scaling of this type of product?
We are developing a medical device. It is a medical device. So, with medical grade or not, we don't aim at all at wellness market.
Like personal so monitoring. This would need to be something that's prescribed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then if you look at CGM again, there are medical devices, but you can also buy them for wellness or personal use without medication. If you just want to eat more, if you want to eat healthier, or stuff, you can buy one and it's okay. But same, the first market is medical device. So we are developing a medical device, so we have to go under a clinical trial, or at least one clinical trial to prove. A clinical trial has several goals to prove that your device is okay and cannot harm anyone, which is for us is quite obvious. I mean, it's very micro-invasive. It's just a red spot on your skin, but that's about all. And of course, the main point is to prove that it's useful, or and that you can compare it to standard way of measurement. So, yeah, we plan to start our clinical trial in the first semester of 2024. So in a few months now, to demonstrate that we can properly monitor the molecules of interest as well as a blood draw. And then yeah, you need to manage to scale up the production of the sensor, I would say. So that's not my field, but on the chemistry side, we will of course have to we will develop methods of functionalizing all our device up to scale, and in doing so, we have to maintain a very low cost, a low cost of our devices. Our goal is to have an affordable solution for everyone, so we can, it can benefit the most people possible. And of course, as it's a medical device, I mean, we have to ensure the best quality possible. It's the market and the field is highly regulated, of course. So I mean, we have at least to comply with all the regulation, which is a very high level of quality and control over the entire production production process. But that's always a thing that you have to keep in mind when you are developing such device and in a high quantity too. And so we aim at to sell our device on the mass market in 2025.
Okay.
So which will leave us, 1 year of developing the mass production and certification and mass production.
So because this is, it feels like this is akin to health monitoring devices like maybe pulse oximetry, you know, optical pulse oximetry or something like this. I would have thought that you wouldn't have to go through the level of clinical trials that maybe another medical device would. Is it just because the device is invasive, even if it's just a couple of millimeters below the skin?
No, I mean, for pulse oximeters, I think that you still have, it depends on the purpose, on what purpose you want to sell your device. If it's just, I was about to say entertainment, but no, if it's just, I still call it wellness, you don't have to prove that well. And if people cannot also use it, thinking that it's a real, not a real, but a very accurate monitoring device. Pulse oximetry, you cannot, I get that you cannot do much with the value. So you can still sell not that accurate pulse oximeter. And I mean, on my smartwatch, I won't show what brand it is, but I don't think that the pulse oximeter is very good. I mean, it often show me that I'm 92 or 91% oxygen saturation, which normally I should be on under a mechanical respiratory machine, something like this. But if you want to sell it as a medical device, then you have to go under clinical trial. I also talk about it because in my previous company, we had at one point a project on developing our own oximeter, and we approached all the path, we started to get interested in all the path to get a clinical trial and a certification for our pulse oximeter. And clearly, it was supposed to be a medical device grade, so we had to go to the clinical trial too.
When you say medical device grade, this is a high enough grade for diagnostics or just for monitoring?
I'm thinking that's...
is there no distinction?
I'm not sure. I think that's helpful diagnosis. I'm not quite sure on this, on the terminology here. But we still have to... the point is, we have to prove the effectiveness of our device and prove that it's effective to be able to be sold and to be prescribed and then probably reimbursed by healthcare insurance. And in order to prove the effectiveness of our device, we have to do a clinical trial in good shape to have a solid proof that it's actually working. That's not that much. That's not because it's micro-invasive. It cannot even... I'm not even sure how it is considered with respect with invasiveness. But no, that's just for effectivity proof.
Yeah, they want to make sure that your claims are legitimate and that they can be backed up with actual results from the device.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to my knowledge, you cannot have a useless device that could that can be medical grade or I don't know, medical device approved, either both in Europe or in the United States. I mean, the FDA of the CE or the CE won't be happy with.
So if someone has a great idea for a product that could be considered for, you know, personal health monitoring or disease monitoring, it sounds like there are two really big challenges. Obviously, the regulatory side, which you've been talking about a bit, and having to prove out that the technology works from a regulatory aspect. But then you also brought up the manufacturing end of it. And that's actually something I'm kind of interested in, is because you guys have a functionalized device that relies on some chemical process to achieve that. What does that look like alongside the electronics manufacturing? Do these two things go in parallel in different facilities? Are you going to end up working with one manufacturer who oversees a quality control program for the entire product? What does that look like for you guys as you start to scale?
One important thing that I forgot to mention about our device, and that will have a big impact on the manufacturing, is that what we want to do is a two-part device. And actually, I showed the device. I will show it again for those who have the video, which we can separate the parts that will have the micro needles and the part with the electronics. And we have small connectors in between.
So you've just popped this device apart from the top. And what we're seeing is in one hand, you have the backside that would attach to the patient. And then the other side, you have, it looks like part of the enclosure, but it has all the electronics in it, like the Bluetooth chip and some of the other stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And so here we don't have the electronic board here. It should be on this side, but it's a mock-up. I mean, anyway, yeah. All the sensing and communication electronic port will be reusable, and the micro needle part will be disposable, and will have to be changed every set days and all. So we're doing it mostly for an ecological point of view and cost point of view. We think that eventually it will be less costly, and also we don't want to throw away every time a board, a functioning PCBA with everything okay. Of course, it leads to a different challenge with a battery, rechargeable battery, and wireless charging that you don't have to. CGM, I think all CGM, at least the one I know, are entirely disposable. You use them for, don't remember, 1 week, 2 weeks, and then you throw everything away. We have a slightly more complex electronic, so it would be even more shame to throw everything. But also from a cost point of view, we think that we can achieve lower cost even if it adds some complexity around the connection. So back to the manufacturing, it also allow us to have all the top side, the top part with the electronics manufacture on one side, totally regular electronic manufacturing up to the casing. You put it in the casing and all, and the micro needles part with the chemistry happening, that can be entirely done in parallel, like you said. And then when you have your two parts, you can then assemble them together. Or not even assembling them together, because it would be cheap. You also need one reusable part, of course, as it's reusable, and several disposable parts for the time of your treatment or monitoring, depending on the time you will be using it. And it's also a key point because the micro needle part will have to be sterilized, of course, and not having the electronic may be easier to, or at least constraint less for manufacturing.
So what has been the initial response from shopping this product around? Who have you shown it to, and what's been the response? Have you been showing it to doctors, potential patients?
Yeah, both. And so we have, of course, a board of doctors to be able to chat with and exchange with on what are they expect of such a device, what data is useful for them, and how they can use those data to improve stuff, down to how the interface should be when they see this kind of data. And they are very enthusiastic and excited about it. Because again, they can have data live, so you don't have to prescribe a blood draw and analysis. So you have it immediately if the patient was already wearing the device, and in a few days if he has to put it on now. They are quite enthusiastic, and the patient too, because kidney disease is not apparently it's not a big it's a big issue for people suffering from it. But it's not a disease with a lot of money in the research and stuff like this. There are a lot more effort put in cardiovascular research, for example, than in kidney, which can even be a shame if we remember that kidney can cause heart issues. So the patients are also very, very enthusiastic and very excited to have something that can help them. We are in touch with the Association of Kidney Disease Patients also, which we discuss with them also for the interface, how you can manipulate it, what is convenient to have, not convenient, for the design of the device itself, and how you use it and how you live with it, or we will be able to live with it. So we are in touch, and the thing is that sometimes doctor and patients don't want the same thing. That's also true for quite different device or technology in the medical field. For example, and I don't judge anybody here, of course, but the doctor often can be quite scared or to give all the data to the patient, and that can be totally or probably totally right, because some patient can panic seeing a small bump in their in the concentration of that molecule or glucose, even if it's totally, if it doesn't mean anything. On the other side, allowing the patient to see in real life, in real time, his own constant and health can have a reassuring effect, and they can then. We have to speak with both to know what they expect, what they want, and we will have to decide on some. Or at least probably let the doctor decide if they want to show the data to patient or not. But it's really important to talk with doctor and patient to develop such a device to know what they are, how they will use it, and what they are expecting.
I'm sure patients would probably appreciate another aspect of this, which is the ability for the doctor to give them feedback without them having to actually go into an office. Because the doctor could then give feedback either, let's say, through the app or just over email, or they could call them on the phone, whatever it is. They can get that feedback from the doctor and determine whether that spike they saw is actually meaningful.
Yeah, totally. And it totally is in line with the development of telemedicines to develop medicine not only at the doctor office, and you don't have to only take an appointment and see your doctor, but you can wear stuff and he can react in real life, in real time again, and reassure you or tell you I don't know, maybe change your prescription and I don't know, I guess that's either adding appointment to make bigger check if something is maybe a bit off, or on the other side, canceling appointment, like, okay, apparently everything is okay. And I think that's really where we're going to with this different continuous monitoring or at-home medicine that is developing with help with the telemedicine and consultation. At least in France, it's rather new since the COVID. I don't know how it is in other places, but in France, I mean, the COVID has been a great accelerator of this, but that you can now have an appointment with your doctor through a webcam and with just your computer. And so if you can add the stuff that can also make measurements at home, or I know you go to the local pharmacy or you get also delivered your devices, you make your own measurements. It participates in this new medicine, I guess, or at least that at home, I would say, medicine. I don't know if there is probably a better term than this. But this new medicine that you can be part of as a patient. I think that's really the future of medicine, to be able to grab all the data yourself. That's also, the patient is more, implicated in his own health, seeing how, but even, this has been the point with the continuous glucose monitoring. I mean, you eat a lot of, bad foods, you will see immediately, 1 hour later, you will see a peak in your glucose. And you know that the peak is not very good. You eat a lot healthier, well, you see that it has an effect and that it's good for you. And so if we can expand it for other molecules, it can only be good, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
To be able to participate again and explain what we're doing and our progress.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. To everyone that's out there listening and watching on YouTube, we've been talking with Paul Durand-Esteb, lead electronics developer at Metyos. If you are watching on YouTube, make sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the like button. You'll be able to keep up with all of our tutorials and podcast episodes as they come out. And finally, don't stop learning, stay on track, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody.